This is URN.
Welcome back to your Thursday edition of The Pulse. Joined by me, Hermione, Matt, Freya. We've got a special guest joining us now. Harry sat there and can't hide there in the corner. Harry. We just had a story from campus about a press issue from the Vice Chancellor about industrial action. But now I've got a story from Freya about whitewashing in movies. Of course, if you have any opinions about anything that you hear, please do message in at urn1350.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We are at urn1350. But for now, over to you, Freya.
Yeah, so this story kind of focuses on the actress Natalie Portman, who's kind of caught up in a Hollywood race row. Because her character in the forthcoming film Annihilation wasn't initially white when it was written. The science fiction drama focuses around Portman's character Lena, who's a biologist working in a secret environmental disaster arena. Portman's character is described as having Asian heritage in the book the film is based on. The film is an adaptation of the book written by Jeff Vandermeer, and it wasn't until the second book in the series that Lena's race was discussed. But it's also revealed that another character, Dr. Ventress, is half Native American and half white, and the actor who's been cast to play that is also white and not representative of the race that they're meant to be, according to the books. Portman says that when she found out, she said, well, that does sound problematic, but I'm hearing it for the first time. It's probably valid criticism. I didn't know that. Portman goes on to say, we need more representation of Asians in film, Hispanics on film, Blacks on film, and women, particularly women of colour, Native Americans, etc. She described categories like white and non-white as imagined classifications with real-life consequences, and said that everyone is becoming more self-conscious of it. It is worth noting that Vandermeer's novels are written in a very cryptic style and that he doesn't really reveal the characters' names, let alone their physical descriptions. And the rest of the film does include several women of colour, including Tessa Thompson, Michelle Rodriguez and Sonoya Mizuno. So my question with this is about whether we think that whitewashing in Hollywood is a particular issue and whether we think that people like Natalie Portman should kind of step down from roles like this if they find out that they're not necessarily living up to what is expected or what their initial role was meant to be.
I think there's definitely an issue to be discussed here. I think we've seen recently, and I can't remember the actor's name, but upon discovering the fact that he was being cast in a whitewashed role, he immediately stepped down and issued an apology.
Oh yeah, who was that?
And he was kind of heavily commended for that. At the same time, on a financial side, although arguably it increases his kind of PR and stuff, it's like if you suddenly step down from a job offer, someone just going for a position in an industry. I think also you had problems when there was a, I think it's in, is it in Get Out? I can't remember, but a British black actor was cast in the role of an American black role, and, well, African-American role. And people, I think it was Samuel Jackson, came out and said, you know, he doesn't know what it's like to be black and in America. He's only experienced it in Britain. And so I think increasingly, although we're becoming more self-aware and kind of introspective about these roles, it's becoming increasingly murky territory as to where the line is drawn. You know, if I want to play a role of someone who from a more working class background, you know, does that mean that even though I might match the physical description of that person, because I haven't gone through, you know, a working class background myself, I'm therefore ineligible for that role? So I think, you know, the more we start dividing things up, although I think it's incredibly important that we do pay attention to these issues, I think at some point we can't just arbitrarily decide when or where these things are okay. You know, Scarlett Johansson being cast in a whitewashed role in Ghost in the Shell was kind of, people kind of said, oh, that's bad, but it didn't get stopped. You know, the film still was made.
There was also, you know, when Eddie Redmayne was in The Danish Girl, there were a lot of people who had an issue with the fact that it wasn't an actual trans person who was cast as that role.
Exactly, and even in films like Zoolander 2, when Benedict Cumberbatch was cast in a kind of similar role. And
even,
I think what was worse was they were making
making
a joke about it in the Zoolander film. So I think the industry is kind of, it's kind of, on both sides of the fence at the moment, in the sense that on the one hand, there's a group of people who are incredibly invested in this discussion. And then the other hand, I think you have studio executives who are kind of by and large playing it by ear as to whether or not the backlash is significant enough for them to think, oh yeah, we should change that, or if they can get away with it. I think as well, thanks to the success of films like Fast and Furious, a diverse cast that represents people from all around the world, and has proved to be massively successful in overseas territories, are telling executives that yes, if you make your cast more diverse, you can be successful. You know, people don't expect an all beautiful white American cast. They want people that they can recognize and be sympathetic to. But I think with this issue in particular, it's definitely more tricky. And I think, like I said, the main problem is that there seems to be a bit kind of arbitrary decision of when it's okay and when it's not okay.
There's also, I guess, like, you know, the flip. I don't want to call it like the flip because, you know, but with things like, you know, Zendaya being cast as Spider-Man's girlfriend, Mary Jane?
Yeah, she's kind of, it's alluded to at the end. She's like, oh, my full name's like Mary Jane or kind of MJ or something like that.
And then also there's the whole thing about, there was loads of people who were upset about the whole thing about Hermione being black in the play and stuff like that.
Well, even when they were doing, you know, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man films that come out, there was talk of Donald Glover being cast in that role. And suddenly people just started, you know, posting his face on pictures of Spider-Man. And again, there was a huge group of people who said, yes, let's do this. I think it'll be amazing. And then there's a huge group of people who said, you know, what the hell? And then actually after that kind of press moment of kind of speculation about it, the people in charge of the Spider-Man comic series at the time then wrote a black Spider-Man character. And so I think it shows that maybe even if it doesn't work out in the industry or the film-wise, people still kind of, the ripple of that effect still carries on and makes other people alert to the issue.
Yeah, I think one of the big ones recently was Jodie Whittaker being cast as the first female Doctor.
I was just thinking that as well.
That was, I think that's a really big step. But I feel like, I don't know if that's slightly different in the sense of, like, the Doctor's like an alien who can change into different people when they die, so I feel like changing into a woman shouldn't be too big a deal, really.
There's a female Sherlock in the US television series that kind of people don't female Sherlock as well.
I kind of like, I don't know, because like I'm more like, you know, feminism and all of that kind of thing, but then I'm kind of like, just create characters that are female that are cool. Like, I get what they tried to do
I
with the Doctor.
I felt like they were trying a bit hard by making a female Doctor.
Yeah, because it's never, the thing is, like, it's not canonical. It doesn't occur.
Yeah, I didn't think. It just there was so much backlash from it, and I was like, is this even worth it? Like, what has this done for women anywhere? It was more like the BBC were kind of ticking a box. Yeah. Like, look, we've done this, so...
Yeah.
I feel like she probably will be sick. Like, she looks like a really good actress. And
I'm a really big Doctor Who fan, and was that not cool? And... And I just, my main concern is not whether it's a man, a woman, a transgender person, black, white, Asian, whatever. If they're good. As long as they're good, I don't really care who it is.
No, see, that's the thing, but the BBC made such a big thing about the fact that she was a woman. And I think it was a bit like, just hire someone who's good and plays the role and fits the role well. Mm-hmm. That's what we want out of these TV
shows. It was kind
shows.
Of like, look, we hired a woman.
Look what we've done.
They made a very big thing out of it.
I think also with that, people know that people will listen, people will watch the episode to either make sure it's good or to, you know, take it apart if it's bad, so they know that regardless they're going to get lots of people watching. I think as well the series did need some sort of reinvention to keep it fresh
after Stephen Moffat trashed it with his writing.
I think that obviously that's a whole other issue, and you know, thank god they got rid of him because he's just terrible at writing female characters. But I think also, like, there was an interview with, I think it was Claire Foy recently, where they asked, oh, you know, there's talk of a female Bond. What would you think about that? And she was like, why don't we just create strong female characters that...
Yeah, why does they have to be Bond? Can't they be their own person?
Yeah,
she was like,
also,
new franchise.
Instead of trying to put ourselves on masculine traits and masculine kind of stereotypes to kind of prove that we can do that. But she says there's also something innately strong in just being a woman.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't try and kind of map our attributes onto someone else's and co-opt a character. Instead, she said she'd rather see actual original, you know, characters created that, you know, she could audition for that weren't just, you know, caught up in old kind of franchise. I think also if you look at a film like Rogue One with Felicity Jones, where they actually did just create a strong female character out of, you know, nothing. There was no real basis for that character, and it was still, you know, and also, like, you know, Matt said about the point of kind of meritocracy and them being good, it was just a good character. There wasn't anything
about
it.
I would
it.
Like to see, like, there's this whole, like, trope about, like, the strong female character, and she does just have traditionally masculine qualities. Katniss Everdeen is a fighter. All of these female characters, I'd love to see the acceptance of, like, weak female characters. And that's, yeah, like, why I've got, like, such a strong place in my heart for, like, Sansa from Game of Thrones and stuff like that, because she's not weak, but she's not got this traditionally masculine strength. And I just...
Yeah, I think definitely something that's been levelled at the Star Wars franchise with the new films was that Rey is this kind of Mary Sue character who can do it all, seemingly has no flaws, and, you know, is this kind of great all-round character. Well, I think you're right, you know, the best characters have flaws in them, and we need to recognise that although you can create female characters that are definitely admirable, you know, they do also, well, they should also have flaws that make them relatable and kind of more encompassing. I think also a focus on different kind of strengths that go beyond just the physical dominance that we associate with stuff like Bond to kind of more innate struggles. I think especially within male roles, I'd like to see, you know, the typical leading man role kind of diversified a bit more, rather than, you know, just someone like James Bond. To, I think Eddie Redmayne's character in Fantastic Beasts, although I didn't particularly like rate the film massively, I thought it was really cool how this was a guy who wasn't very, like,
masculine.
Well,
type.
Not even masculine, but just, like, good. Like, you kind of look at me, you're like, what are you doing? Yeah,
he's just like a guy.
He
like
really
playing,
struggles
yeah.
at times with
that's
both.
The same
just
with, like, Harry
interacting.
Potter himself, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, he's
yeah,
just a bit of a weird.
Harry's a bit more. Harry's a bit too angsty for me, but yeah. I do.
He's always
think,
very nervous, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. He kind of comes across as kind of bumbling energy, which
but
is
then
quite
you've got
endearing.
Hermione, who's like a really strong.
Yeah,
female.
Yeah, she
I
do.
Yeah, I think although all those characters.
Yeah,
actually, yeah.
With the Harry Potter link, actually, Rowling's coming for Christmas. Recently for not making Dumbledore gay enough, basically.
Oh, she's coming under criticism for a lot of things as well. She's like, what's his face?
I really just hate
Johnny
her
Depp.
Twitter profile, to be honest. Sorry, that's quite strong. No, I think she,
I just hate her.
No, she,
you heard it
I
here
think,
first.
Yeah, obviously, she does a lot of charitable work, created a beloved film and book series, but I think people, I think someone did point out that, you know, she was all very well saying that Dumbledore was gay once the book series was done, but when kind of push came to shove on the film series, suddenly, you know, we're hearing that actually his sexuality isn't going to be explicit, which, you know, maybe, I don't know.
She comes under a lot of criticism for not having, like, enough representation, doesn't she?
Yeah, and also some very stereotypical representation when it happens.
Like the names of the... Yeah, like...
Literally.
Like
the one Jewish
Patil,
guy.
Yeah,
the two...
Chang,
yeah.
But I think, to be fair, she was writing in a different time period.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the thing. We do have high expectations of people, and I don't know. I think I can understand when, especially people who... As just someone who's a white British male, I don't have as much, I think, connection when things like that go wrong. Obviously, I can call them out, but it's not as much of a kind of personal attack on me as it is for other people when they see these kind of news stories develop.
This is URN.